Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is July 4th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 43 of Who's Reading the Organon. We'll be reading aphorism number 9 today. And it is a special day for the folks over here in the USA. It is the 4th of July, Independence Day. And so in honor of this date on the HWC network, I've posted a Paul McCartney song called Freedom. And it's a very short song, a couple of lines. Major line in there is, I will fight for the right to live in freedom. And I do believe it is the right of people to healthcare freedom. I would like to say that HWC is a lively, dynamic community of people from all persuasions, countries, cultures, religions, and beliefs, and that we all are doing our best to live in unity through our compassion, by understanding each other, by living with a concept of tolerance to let people live in freedom. Everyone is on a journey toward health. Everyone comes from their own unique background, heritage, and experience. Please be kind. Use right words. Think about what you say before you say it out loud. How is it going to sound when it's on paper? How is it going to, if you print something on the internet, it will always be there following you. It's hard to delete anything that you have posted. And if something has gone wrong, please do apologize and work out our individual differences. I think that Vera is on the line, yes.
Hi Vera. Baby. Hi, everyone.
Hi, it's a day to celebrate freedom. We need to really make it happen in our lifetime. I'm going to read. I keep getting these messages from Ralph Waldo Emerson. The other day I did a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and then on Twitter, someone by the name of R.W. Emerson contacted me and said, wouldn't you like to read what I have to tweet? And of course, it was his quotes. So today, I'm going to read one by someone whose Twitter name is TWLOHHA, Twalaha. I don't know how to pronounce it. It says, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. And that is an Emerson quote. And then John C. Maxwell says, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And he asks, are you passionate about what you're trying to accomplish? And so we want to inspire and put that kind of enthusiasm is in what we do as homeopaths. And most of you, if you know, if you read, when you sign up, a lot of people have written, homeopathy is my life. So we are passionate people. Let me see, do you have any news, Vera, for the listening audience?
I had some news about the Organon blog. So far, the Organon blog was the the initial reason for this show that I challenged myself to put the Organon into my own words within a year. So the year finishes on Hanuman's birthday next year in 2011. And so far I have like a countdown on the site. The site is, the link is on the group site on HWC. And so far I'm 54 aphorisms down, 237 to go.
That's a great accomplishment. I think that we're really instilling some consistency in our practice, and it's going to make a difference. It's going to change us by listening, by getting involved in the study, and having Hanuman as our teacher. There is, it's good to reiterate and review this kind of information, because I'm learning that each day that we have this radio show, there are new listeners who have not started with us from the very beginning, so they really don't realize what the show is all about. The fact that you created this challenge for yourself, and I picked up on it, invited you to get on a radio show and do it live and get more people involved listening and learning about homeopathy, and just to realize it's two people talking to each other. We're not authorities in any way, shape, or form, but we are just learning together and looking at the original work of Hanuman.
My recommendation also to anyone who's listening, especially to students, don't need to be an expert just to pick up the Organon and read it. If you don't understand it the first time, you'll understand it the second or the third. And as an exercise, this is why my challenge to myself was born. As an exercise, it's very valuable to see, after you read an aphorism, to see if you can put it in your own words. Failing that, see if you can grab someone and explain that aphorism to them. And that will increase your own understanding 100-fold.
Excellent. So, because we know that to learn, the best way to learn is to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm. So, shall we move on to aphorism 9, or you have more announcements about the network?
Oh, the network is doing great. We have so many people online and always joining. When it's good to invite people to join, because we have a lot more activity going on, all the different conversations. There are stimulating controversial discussions, and that's one of the things about Independence Day, and it brings to heart that Homeopathy World Community is an open network for all kinds of people, and we encourage people to discuss the questions that they have about homeopathy, about health, about well-being, and we talk about a lot more things than just that as well, because we are a social network, a community of people who are interested in many things going on in our world. So we will be going on to aphorism number 9.
Okay. Aphorism number 9 is also a favorite of mine. I think some of the aphorisms at the beginning.
Okay, we're kind of cutting out a sound. Maybe I'll start reading for the program. Aphorism number 9. Are you back with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. But go ahead, read.
In the healthy condition of man, the spiritual vital force, in parentheses autocracy, the dynamis, that animates the material body organism, rules with unbounded sway and retains all the parts of the organism in admirable, harmonious, vital operation as regards both sensations and functions, so that our indwelling, reason-gifted mind can freely employ this living, healthy instrument for the higher purposes of our existence. And this is one of your favorites, Vera?
It's one of my favorites because it sets what we do in perspective. Apart from the understanding, this introduction of the vital force, which animates the material body, and when man is healthy, the vital force handles everything that needs to be handled with no problem. But Aphorism 9 gives us the purpose of why patients are coming to us for healing and why we're doing this, what our purpose is. And our purpose isn't to cure the constipation or to cure the tuberculosis or even to cure the cancer. Our purpose is to enable our patients to be in a situation where their indwelling, reason-gifted mind can freely employ this living, healthy instrument for the higher purposes of our existence. So I find this aphorism very beautiful in its vision.
Mm-hmm.
We're not concerned with a body here, with an individual body. We're concerned with a body soul that has its place within the cosmic arrangement of things. We're helping people fulfill the higher purposes of their existence when we get good results. I think that's carry on.
It's not just when we speak about body-mind. Now we've gone even to a richer place of being, to body-soul,
mm-hmm.
to what's animating us, keeping us alive, the spiritual portion of our being. And I find it interesting that here Hahnemann writes spiritual vital force. He uses the word. And then right next to it, he uses in parentheses the word autocracy, which you usually think about as a system of governing of one person with absolute power. So there is something that is in giving this life to this being that really rules and controls what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that also called the dynamis?
Mm-hmm.
The dynamics and animates the material being. So there's this other aspect, which in previous aphorisms, I'm not sure how it comes into play and whether this is the part of the Organon's philosophy and theory that says, what is it that cannot be proven? In other words, there's something unseen that you don't have anything to grasp onto. So what is the connecting bond between that spirit and that material that makes it visible for us? Because obviously we can't see spirit.
I think it's in a very similar situation that people say health is when you're not aware of your body. When you just go and do the things you want to do, whether they're athletic or mundane, and you're not aware of your body. Somebody told me this also, someone who lost a hand in a military training accident. he said for the first time in his life, he was aware of his body, and he was aware of even the hand that was now missing. He'd never thought about his body before. He'd never been aware of it. He'd just used it. And ultimately, this seems to be the ideal, that we just use this living, healthy instrument for the higher purposes of our existence. The vital force, many people relate to the vital force in different ways. There's been reams and reams written about it. But I think it's easiest to view it as in terms of what it does. The vital force animates the material body, rules with unbounded sway. This is what the vital force does. It retains all parts of the organism in admirable, harmonious, vital operation as regards both sensations and functions. So not just that we are working well, but also that we're not, even like small examples, our ears have constant blood flow rushing through them. Why don't we hear it?
Mm-hmm.
When we hear the rushing of blood through the ears, something's wrong. Our vital force maintains the sensation of being able to hear without being sidetracked by the other noises that go on inside the head. The vital force maintains that in its correct proportion. So we
we could say that about all of our functioning. The millions of cells and all of the activities that are going on within us, we're not really aware of it, consciously aware of it, unless there's something that's kind of out of balance or not functioning properly, then we get a signal that something's not right.
But the thing is, we get a signal quite a long way after something stops functioning, because very often the vital force corrects anything that is not functioning properly, corrects it fairly early on, and we never really find out about it. In the same way as there are reports of autopsies where the person who died is found to have a lot of cancer tumors that the vital force simply encapsulated. So no one knew this person had cancer, and it never became symptomatic. The vital force dealt with it before any kind of symptoms and signs emerged, and the person lived to a healthy old age.
This is really fascinating, because we know that the body has a system of checks and balances, and is able to, everyone actually has cancer cells in their body. Everyone has bacteria. Everyone has all of these types of germs or things that are living within. It's how do we live in balance with what's going on within us and outside of our beings, like the air we breathe.
It's a very interesting subject. One example that I give to it, because modern medicine tends to see everything as requiring intervention. And there are many things that don't require intervention, that the vital force, if given a little bit of time, a little bit of space, and a good lifestyle, can fix on its own. One of the examples that I give to any listeners who have ever been through pregnancy, during pregnancy, the body knows what to do. For the most part, the body builds this other human being inside without constant instruction or input or computer commands or constant injections or supplements. Even without all these things, when there is a pregnancy and it's viable, the body knows what to do. The vital force takes care of everything. And it's truly amazing when we realize that we don't have to do anything. This child is growing without conscious input. Is that a weird?
How do we live a really good life with this awareness now that we have this autocratic vital force that's keeping us alive, that's functioning so perfectly to protect us and keep us running like a smooth engine? What do we do with this information?
I think there's two directions to this information. One direction is to respect that spiritual vital force, to give it space to operate, to make its job easier rather than more difficult, and that to me means lifestyle, to examine lifestyle. No, give it the best kind of diet. It's like if you have an employee and you want that employee to work well, you give them good work conditions. You give them a good place to sit, a chair that works for them, a workstation that does the full function they need to do, the right kind of reimbursement. We need to respect our vital force and give it full room to operate. But the other part of it is that we need to have the vision to realize that there is beyond the diarrhea or the constipation or the colds or the sinus trouble or the digestive problems. There is beyond that. There is our indwelling, reason-gifted mind employing this living, healthy instrument for higher purpose. It's like a friend of mine always tells me, keep your eye on the long-range goals. And these are the long-range goals. We're here for the higher purposes. We want to be healthy and functioning well in order to fulfill those higher purposes, and we need to give our vital force as much help as possible, including homeopathic remedies when necessary, in order to achieve that. It's interesting. I didn't think we would talk so long about this one aphorism, but the discussion is very interesting to me.
Yes. I think it brings me to a place of gratitude. It brings me to a place of awe of, you know, there are things that we do not know we don't know how it works, but we can provide a good home for it. And the material world, our body, is that home, that place within which that vital force sleeps and breathes and rests and lives. And the only way that we're going to do that, as you said, is with providing the right nurturing support of love and a good family and relationships, and also embodying, helping the body to be as strong and full functioning as possible with light and rest and good nutrition. So it does come down to lifestyle and relationships and awareness and all the kinds of relationships, the ones that you have with yourself, with other human beings, and with your creator, if you so believe there is one. So I guess we can go to aphorism number 10, unless you have another comment.
Okay, let's go to aphorism 10. The material organism, without the vital force, is capable of no sensation, no function, no self-preservation. It derives all sensation and performs all the functions of life solely by means of the immaterial being, the vital principle, which animates the material organism in health and in disease. And the footnote? It is dead and now only subject to the power of the external physical world. It decays and is again resolved into its chemical constituents.
Mm-hmm.
This actually reminds me of a clip that I saw recently on YouTube. Of Deepak Chopra describing what we would be seeing if we didn't have consciousness, how we would be experiencing life. And the picture he presented was basically that our experience of life would be that there's no color, there's no shape, there's no vision, there's no senses, no sensory input. And without sensory input, we're like in nothing. So the concept is interesting. He develops this whole idea about the function of consciousness and how we experience all life through consciousness. So if we don't have consciousness, our experience of life is without any sensation and without function. I don't mean to say the vital force is consciousness. I couldn't give a definition to the vital force. I wouldn't try. And there are so many people who've gone before me with that kind of definition. But it's just seeing this sentence, capable of no sensation, no function, no self-preservation, reminded me of that clip. I'll see if I can put it up on the group board.
I'm sure that most people in their cartoon mind would be thinking of a picture of the human body, and I actually am thinking of Casper the Friendly Ghost for some inane reason, but you know that there's something that goes in and then something that goes out. It's the breath, it's air, it's this vital force that when it's in, then it comes alive. And then
Debbie,
when it leaves, yes.
You mentioned cartoon mind. It's such a great idea. What do you mean by it? What's the cartoon mind?
The cartoon mind. I just made it up because I just thought, you know, we each have maybe a picture of a cartoon that plays in our mind from when we were children and we used to watch cartoons, and it's very symbolic or stereotypic, and it puts a little drawing, like when you're a child, you just draw a stick drawing of the human body. And how do you animate the stick drawing? You know, we watch cartoons, and that's where it came from. And so I'm thinking, how do you put it into the simplest words, into the simplest picture in your mind of just this being where something goes in and it comes alive? It's awake. It moves. And then if it goes, this wisp of air or whatever it is, it goes out, and no longer is there breath, no longer is there pumping heart, no longer is there communication or talking to one another. And that's what I'm thinking, that on aphorism number 10, he's putting the vital force within. And then here in aphorism number, that was number 9. And then on aphorism number 10, he's saying he's withdrawing the vital force and saying, okay, what are you left with? You're just left with powdery dust, with chemicals, with something that's decayed and is no longer really living, or, as you said, conscious, which I don't know that he uses that word, conscious, but that's kind of the little picture that I had in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
I just find it fascinating, the thought that people have cartoon minds as a section of their thinking, and I think it's very true because we're so exposed to cartoons and similar. Shall we move on to 11? Do we have time?
Let's see. I think we have about 4 minutes, so let's go ahead.
Okay.
Aphorism number 11.
Yeah.
When a person falls ill, it is only the spiritual, self-acting, automatic vital force everywhere present in his organism that is primarily deranged by the dynamic influence, and here's your fun word, materia pecans, upon it of a morbific agent inimical to life. It is only the vital principle, deranged to such an abnormal state, that can furnish the organism with its disagreeable sensations and incline it to the irregular processes which we call disease. For as a power invisible in itself and only cognizable by its effects on the organism, its morbid derangement only makes itself known by the manifestation of disease in the sensations and functions of those parts of the organism exposed to the senses of the observer and physician, that is, by morbid symptoms. And in no other way can it make itself known. And there is a footnote to that, but we can...
Yeah, I think probably next time, because it's a long footnote.
Yes.
And it's a fascinating one.
There's a lot to be said for this materia pecans and how the typical physician or allopathy views it, or scientists or researchers view the dynamic between the material and the spiritual. What is the cause? What is the effect? What is the dynamic influence? What is being deranged? And, as you said, we're all living with these organisms within us, and is it in balance? So how does it get in balance, and what makes it, is it something from the spiritual aspect of the vital force that's causing the derangement, or is it something actually in the material world that is causing the derangement? There is a lot to be said about aphorism number 11.
Mm-hmm. So we'll go into it more in depth tomorrow. In the meantime,
yes,
I think that we probably have to wrap up. So we've completed today aphorism 9 and 10, and we'll be carrying on going over 11 again tomorrow, plus the footnote.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any summary?
Okay, I'm going to use your thought. What does your cartoon mind say about what animates you? Okay, that's for me. That's my closing statement.
Okay, I'll be putting something up on my blog, I think.
Okay, and I want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day. Think about your freedoms. Think about your enthusiasm, your passion, how you can influence others. And make this world a better place through tolerance. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community. Okay, bye-bye,
okay.
Vera.
Bye, Debbie.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.